You're listening to BI Radio, brought to you by Cognos, the next level of performance. Check us out online at radiocognos.com.
Hi there, and welcome to BI Radio. We begin in Chicago with the story of forecast accuracy and investor opinion. Delaney Turner learns from Deloitte and Baxter why that connection is so important, and why not having one led the life science leader in a new direction.
I'm here with Lisa Feirstein, who is the Director of Global Finance at Baxter Healthcare, and John Wallace, who's a Senior Manager in the Performance Management Group in Deloitte. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. I'd like to start off with a question. John, you presented some statistics about CIOs or finance executives' priorities. Forecast accuracy seems to be the most important capability in building trust with the financial community, yet it's the capability that CEOs and financial executives are the least happy with. What information aren't they getting from their systems?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is financial executives are under a lot of pressure to deliver accurate results to the market and to understand what's coming. It's the forward-looking information. The executives seem to have a pretty good handle on how they get the historic information right. It's that forward-looking stuff, and how do they do that? Mm-hmm. Right now, most of their information is based on a lot of spreadsheets and hearsay and all kinds of different pieces of information that aren't being brought together into a concise piece of information. So it's not entirely unusual for a senior executive to be sitting on the phone with the executives, paging through multiple different iterations of financial statements trying to get the one they want. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help build confidence, does it?
Mm-hmm. No. Right? No. Now, Lisa, was that the case at Baxter? You talk about forecast accuracy being sort of the spark for this whole project. What could you tell us about the situation at Baxter?
Yes, absolutely. That was the case at Baxter. We had suffered a couple of years in a row of disappointing Wall Street. As a result, we actually have a new CEO. Mm-hmm. His name is Bob Parkinson, and he joined us in 2004. His task by the board was to embark on, in essence, a turnaround process, and he's broken it into two phases. The first phase was approximately 3 years, and its main issue was to A, restore investor credibility, and B, start us on the path of working towards forecast accuracy so that we don't continue to disappoint Wall Street. Mm-hmm. We have brand new management in place, etc. We are now into phase two of his turnaround, and what he is looking to do is continue with process improvements, but also continue on this path of forecast accuracy, specifically in our R&D area, which mm-hmm. is much more complex, so that we are able to significantly bump up our investment in R&D.
Mm-hmm. So if we could go just one step further, how would an inaccurate forecast lead to perhaps poor results or not deliver the right results that the company and that the investment community is looking for?
Well, you know, one of the fundamental problems that a lot of organizations fall into, and Baxter is one of them, is that when they try to manage forecast accuracy, they take a look at the number that's been presented to the street and they manage that number. Mm-hmm. And it's through a top-down process they manage that number. In the R&D world, the problem with that is that you don't get to the tangible issue, right? When you're investing money in R&D, it's to get a result, which may not end up on your financial statements this year.
Right.
Exactly.
So what's happening is they're managed into the dollars down potentially, but they're not actually achieving milestones. But that piece of information doesn't get out to the financial
right.
community
mm-hmm.
for
right.
months later. Right. Well, years later, quite frankly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Because most typical research projects span much longer than a calendar year.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've gone through what you've called the phase one, which is improving forecast accuracy. Can we say that has been achieved?
Well, I think at the end
no.
of the day,
no. not
no,
yet.
It's a journey,
yes.
right?
Right.
Number
yeah.
one, phase one of the project, which was a 12-week engagement mm-hmm. or a 12-month project mm-hmm. or a 12-week project,
12
and
weeks.
Making it a lot longer than it was. Really was around supporting a budget process.
Okay.
But we didn't yeah. get there because we wanted to support the budget process.
Right, exactly. So how we started out was knowing that we had our budget right in front of us, and we scoped this quite narrowly and focused primarily on what was in our own backyard. Headquarters is in Northern Illinois. Mm-hmm. So we have some units that have their budget in there. Why we can't yet say it's successful is because now, as we're into the year 2007, we're into what I call phase two. We now can bump those units' actuals and forecast up against that budget and mm-hmm. begin to actually measure where we're at. So we're just in the process of gathering those metrics.
The one thing we've liked to say all along is, you know, this is not just click the switch and bang, there it is. This is something that's going to take time to institutionalize at Baxter, to get people on board, and quite frankly, to teach management, now they've got all this great information that they've never had access to before, what do I do with it now? And that's what phase two is about, is helping them understand what to do with it now.
That's interesting you say that, because one of the things I found interesting in your presentation materials was that you say the biggest challenge was the people and the process is not necessarily the technology.
Yeah.
I was wondering, what kind of challenges were you looking at? Was it skills? Was it the organizational structure? Was it new learnings? What were the challenges there?
Yes,
exactly. All of the above. What the challenge was and how this whole project started out is I was asked to determine why are we encountering difficulties to accurately forecast our R&D projects and what's stopping us, and determined that a lot of it is that our forecasts and our budgets in our organization tend to be driven by the finance organization. Mm-hmm. Yet in the research and development world, it's your project managers and your technical community who actually own the projects and know what's happening, and we hadn't invited them to the party.
Okay.
So this was an opportunity for them to begin to participate in the overall process, and to actually, we envisioned this as a tool set for them to use to actually promote dialogue across the organization, in that there's many service areas that they're dependent on to manage their milestones and work on their projects.
What's interesting about the R&D organization at Baxter, which, you know, what Lisa's just commented on is probably typical of a lot of organizations that are starting to grow. You know, finance drives the budget, and it's only out of the sheer generosity of the business people's hearts that they help with it.
Right.
And so obviously that doesn't make a lot of sense, because the people closest to the business are the ones that really can provide the best information. What's different about the Baxter R&D organization, it's a matrix organization, right? So that means you've got people consuming resources, and you've got people who actually own those resources, and they need to talk,
right?
And if you look at the fundamental thing, this project, if we're judged on one thing at the end of the day, it's, are those people talking effectively?
Are they talking?
Because if they're talking effectively, we'll get to forecast accuracy some way,
right?
If they aren't talking, it doesn't matter how good everything else is, it ain't going to work.
Right. You can hear the rest of my interview with Lisa and John in the pharmaceuticals section of the Cognos website. In the second half, you'll hear about the importance of communication, building a business case, and the response from executives when the project was rolled out. To access the file, visit cognos.com/solutions. And click on Pharmaceuticals and Life Sciences in the category marked Industry.
Are you a performance manager? Learn how to be one with The Performance Manager, the latest business book from Cognos, PMSI, and BI International. The Performance Manager explores the key challenges in core business functions, sales, marketing, finance, product development, and HR, and describes proven ways you can improve performance in each using sweet spots of information. Become a Performance Manager today. Order your free copy of the book online at www.cognos.com/pmbook. That's cognos.com/pmbook.
Taking you to the next level of performance. This is Radio Cognos. Check us out online at radiocognos.com.